God's grace is yours. In Jesus. Amen. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt pressured to say what everybody wanted you to say? Or think what everybody wanted you to think? Maybe you're feeling that way right now as you think about what's going on in our nation these days. Where you kind of are concerned about saying the right thing about Black Lives Matter or social injustice or racial tension. There's a lot of pressure to say what the crowd is saying. Or maybe you feel the opposite. Maybe you experience the other side of the coin where you really wanted to say something, something you believe in, something that you know to be the truth, but you're afraid of it might offend somebody. Somebody might object to what you're saying. They might ostracize you. And so you're kind of caught between the desire to be accepted, the desire to be liked, and the desire to speak the truth, especially God's truth. Well, you realize that we're not the first ones who've ever been kind of caught in this tug of war. 2,800 years ago, a man by the name of Micaiah faced a similar challenge. Micaiah was a prophet. Maybe not a famous prophet. I mean, he doesn't have a book of the Bible named after him. In fact, maybe you never heard of Micaiah until I just read his name a few minutes ago. But the fact is, Micaiah is somebody that we can all relate to. Because Micaiah was faced to make a choice between telling people what they wanted to hear or telling them the truth. You realize that you and I, to a certain extent, stand in Micaiah's shoes. God calls us as Christians to speak the truth in love. As ambassadors for Christ, the Bible says, God is making His appeal through us. In a sense, we are all speaking for God. We are all, in a sense, prophets. And so the question is, and really this will be our theme for today, prophet, what will you say? Will you say what people want to hear? Or will you say what God reveals to be the truth? I have a little confession to make. The account that we're about to study here is one that I really don't remember very well. I mean, it's not like this was in my Sunday school lessons as a kid. Maybe I was dozing off at the seminary, but as I read this account in preparation for the message today, I found it remarkable. I mean, there's just so much application for our lives in this chapter. So my encouragement to you is today, when you get home sometime, read through the whole chapter, 1 Kings chapter 22. The chapter focuses on an event in the life of King Ahab. Maybe remember that King Ahab was like one of the most wicked kings in the northern kingdom of Israel. It was King Ahab, for example, who along with his wife Jezebel stole the vineyard of Naboth by putting to death an innocent man. It was Ahab who, along with his 400 priests of Baal, had a little showdown with God up on Mount Carmel, and they all lost big time. Well, it's that King Ahab, who at the beginning of this chapter declares that he wants to go to war against the king of Aram. He's going to retake the city of Ramoth-Gilead. And to help him, he engages the king of the southern kingdom named Jehoshaphat to help him in this military campaign. And Jehoshaphat agrees, But then he kind of has some second thoughts, and he says to Ahab, first, seek the counsel of the Lord. In other words, Jehoshaphat, who's a believer in the true God, Jehovah, says, we better find out if God really wants us to do this. Well, remarkably, Ahab, who was not a believer in the true God, agrees to seek God's advice. And so we read, so the king of Israel brought together the prophets, about 400 men, and asked them, shall I go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain? The answer the prophets gave, go, for the Lord will give it into the king's hand. Now Ahab's probably thinking, awesome, I just got the green light from God to go to war. But Jehoshaphat is thinking, wait a minute, not so fast, Ahab. See, Jehoshaphat is suspicious that the men that Ahab gathered around him were only telling the king what he wanted to hear. Remember, the king started this whole thing by saying, I want to go to war. And so all the prophets are kind of being yes men. And that's why Jehoshaphat asks, is there not a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of? In other words, can we get a genuine prophet in here to seek God's will in this matter? Ahab's answer, there is still one man through whom we can inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me, but always bad. In other words, yeah, there's one guy, but he's always complaining about my behavior. Which, considering Ahab's behavior, you could see why that would happen. But ultimately, Ahab relents, and he calls that one prophet, a man by the name of Micaiah. Really, that's where our text for today picks up. It picks up with these two kings, dressed in their royal robes, sitting on their thrones, waiting for Micaiah to come. All while being surrounded by these 400 prophets who are all continuing to prophesy the same thing. They're all saying, attack Ramoth-Gilead and be victorious, for the Lord will give it into the king's hands. In fact, one of the prophets even brought along a little prop. Now, Zedekiah, son of Canaanah, had made iron horns, and he declared, this is what the Lord says, with these you will gore the Arameans until they are destroyed. Can you picture the scene? I mean, this guy running around with horns, this is what's going to happen, right? He's like pumping up the crowd, he's pumping up the king. It reminds me of like a pep rally, where everybody's shouting, are you ready? Yeah! Are really ready? Yeah! It's like this mob mentality. Now, contrast that scene with one lone prophet coming into the presence of this king. In fact, before he gets there, the messenger who was sent to fetch the prophet has a little advice for Micaiah. He says, look, the other prophets, without exception, are predicting success for the king. Let your word agree with them and speak favorably. How's that for a little peer pressure? You better stick to the script, buddy. You better toe the company line. Don't be breaking ranks. Don't be raining on anybody's parade. You better say what we tell you to say. You better say what the king wants to hear. Micaiah's answer? As surely as the Lord lives, I can tell him only what the Lord tells me. In other words, Mackay is saying, I don't care what anybody else says. What matters is what my God says. So when he has the opportunity to stand before the king, and King Ahab asks him, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead or not? What's Micaiah's answer? Attack and be victorious, for the Lord will give it into the king's hand. Really? He parrots what all those other false prophets said? So what? Does that mean he gave in to the peer pressure? He joins the group think? Or is this really what God says? God really is saying, go ahead, attack, you'll be victorious. Actually, it's neither. You see, in order to understand Micaiah's statement, we have to kind of read between the lines. Apparently, when Micaiah says this, when he says exactly what all the other prophets were saying, he does it in a way that even Ahab recognizes, wait a minute, you're really not being sincere. And I don't know how he did it. Maybe Micaiah just kind of rolled his eyes and said, oh, go ahead, you know, attack. I'm sure the Lord was just going to give you the city, just like everybody said. I don't know exactly how he said it, but somehow the king recognized, you're not being upfront. The king's not buying what Micaiah is selling. And we know that because of the response that the king gives to Micaiah's statement. He says, how many times must I make you swear to me to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Kind of ironic that this unbeliever is now saying, you got to tell me the truth in the name of the Lord. It's like he never wanted to hear the truth before, but now he does. So Micaiah tells him the truth. I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, these people have no master. Let each one go home in peace. In other words, Micaiah foretold that Israel would soon no longer have a king, because that king, Ahab, would be killed in this very battle. He tells Ahab the truth. And you can read it, the fulfillment, in 1 Kings 23. But what's Ahab's response to that statement? He says to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you that he never prophesies anything good about me, but only bad? But Micaiah doesn't stop there. He goes on to tell the rest of the truth. He describes a vision that he has of the Lord, that he had of the Lord, on his throne, surrounded by all his angels. And God makes a statement. God says, number one, the time has come for King Ahab to die. His time of grace is over. And secondly, it's going to happen in the battle for Ramoth-Gilead. But then God asks kind of an unusual question. He says, so who will entice Ahab into attacking Ramoth-Gilead and going to his death there? There's some discussion among the angels. And finally, one spirit steps forward and says, basically, I'll do it. And that spirit is the devil. And so God asks the devil, so how are you going to do it? How are you going to lure Ahab to his own death? Listen to Satan's answer. I will go out and be a deceiving spirit in the mouths of all his prophets. You realize that statement is still being fulfilled to this day. Satan is still going out and being a deceiving spirit in the mouths of prophets. All over the world, there are teachers and professors and pastors and preachers and religious leaders who are deceiving people. They say they are from God, but they are not telling the truth. Instead, they are telling people what they want to hear. For example, they say, oh, God wants you to have it all. Name it, claim it. If you're not wealthy, if you're not healthy, well, it's because you don't have enough faith. Just have a positive attitude and God will give it all to you. Or they say, people are not born evil by nature. They're simply corrupted by the world around. Nobody's really a sinner. They just maybe make some poor choices. And as long as you follow the golden rule, you'll end up in heaven because there really is no hell. You realize those are all lies. Popular lies, but they're lies nevertheless. The question is, how are we going to keep from falling for those lies or condoning them in others or promoting them ourselves? The answer is found in the words and actions of this prophet, Micaiah. See, Micaiah distinguished, drew a distinction between what Ahab wanted to hear and what God had revealed. The difference between what is a lie and what is the truth. You realize the same thing is still true today. Our hearts are filled with lies by nature. We are constantly deceiving ourselves. In fact, what does Scripture say? The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? If left to our own thinking, our own desires, or the thinking of others, we will never find the truth. But God in His infinite wisdom has revealed the truth to us. And He didn't reveal it here or here. Revealed it here in His Word. Here's where God tells us the truth. First, the truth about ourselves. Right? In the white spotlight of God's law, He uncovers what we really look like, right? He shows how many times our actions don't match our confession, how many times we've given in to the crowd. We've not stood up for our faith. We've not let our light shine. He points out sin in our lives. Not only does He tell us the truth about ourselves, He tells us the truth about Himself. He tells us, as He said to Moses, I am the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. My friends, every human being deep down wants to know that God. The God who doesn't judge people by their color. A God who does not treat us as our sins deserve. A God who doesn't hold our past against us. A God who gives us His Son to make us a member of His family. That's the God who has revealed himself to us in his word. And now God is calling us to share that God with others. Not in an arrogant way, not in a, well, we know better than you do. No. Sharing God as one beggar telling another beggar where to find the bread, where to find the truth, where to find the life. God has made you his prophet. So go. Tell people. Not what they think they want to hear, but tell them what you know deep down they need to hear. God's love for sinners displayed in Jesus Christ. Amen.